Good morning, everyone. It's good that we can continue to meet, be it remotely, during these difficult and strange days. But we continue to be church. And so it's good that we can join around God's word together this morning. Our reading this morning is from Genesis, first of all, chapter 8, verses 13 to 22, and then chapter 9, verses 12 to 16, God's rainbow promise. Verse 13. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so that they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it." So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on the earth, came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. And the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." Then chapter 9, verse 12. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth, and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth." This February was the wettest February on record. 237% of normal rainfall for the month fell. Some parts of the UK have been catastrophically affected, and our hearts, thoughts, and prayers go out to those who have lost homes, businesses, and some family members. For them, this time is even more difficult than for the rest of us. It reminds me of when the BBC commissioned the Fly on the Wall documentary following the real Vicar of Dibley, Chris, the female vicar of Boscastle, back in 2005. They could not have imagined that they would be on hand to witness and broadcast to the nation a diary of life in a small rural community before, during, and after one of the most powerful explosions of nature to hit the British Isles in recent times. The flash flood that hit that tiny Cornish village devastated the village centre and its harbour, carrying 80 cars out to sea, and many buildings were gutted and some destroyed in just a few short hours. Animals were lost, but amazingly no human life was lost. However, many human lives had been deeply affected. As the series continued, you caught a glimpse of people after the flood, trying to come to terms with what had happened. For some, it was all about getting back to normal as soon as possible. For others, deeper questions were being asked about why. I found one episode particularly interesting in that it was the Christians who were unashamedly asking the deeper questions. And the curator of the Museum of Witchcraft, which was the village's major tourist attraction with 80,000 visitors a year, who saw no religious significance in the events and simply wanted to get back to business, as usual. Let's not fall into the trap of demonising the poor fellow, as it was hinted at that some may have done at the time, but I would wish to encourage him to look a little closer, to search a little deeper, to investigate a little more rigorously, to find the place of God in all of this. God is not silent in such circumstances. Certainly for Noah and his family, God was not silent or inactive. For them, and indeed for us, sin and its consequences, personal and social, for individuals and for communities, are a reality. Sin, people's rebellion against God and his ways, both personal and in ways that affect the whole community of God's people, brought about this ultimate sanction. Most of the race would be wiped out, so that this sin sickness would be eradicated. However, this side of the great flood, there is clear hope. There's hope in the "but" that chapter 8 starts with. But God remembered Noah and his party. God saved them from destruction. God set them down again on dry ground. God enabled them to survive and then to thrive and to start to build human community again. And God made a promise. He made a promise to Noah as he set them down and brought them out of the ark. Actually, God made his promise just a little after setting them down and letting them out of the ark, and it is a significant detail. Noah already had found favour with God and had been saved from certain destruction by God. In response, Noah built an altar and made a burnt offering sacrifice to God. This is the first sacrifice of this nature mentioned in the Bible, but which later becomes the most simple sacrifice God's people are to make under the law, which is yet to come. It has perhaps two functions. Firstly, it is an act of thanksgiving. Noah is thanking God for his party's delivery from death, for his rescue, and for the new opportunities that lay before them. Secondly, but Noah is also petitioning God on behalf of humankind to now show favour to the new race which will be born out of his household. The sacrifice is a soothing aroma, one which pleases God, and God smells it. Chapter 8, verse 21. We do not often read of that in Scripture, yet it implies that God accepted the offering and the one who brought it. And God then responds with his further promise, his rainbow promise, the rainbow being what others have termed God's signature of grace, the rainbow being a lasting pictorial reminder of what God says here. The rainbow is mentioned as a sign of God's covenant, his promise to Noah in chapter 9, verse 13. But we shall look first at the contents of the promise that it signifies. So let's look at this wonderful promise. And there are three affirmations that we can celebrate and give thanks to God for today. Firstly, you are special to me, God says, in effect. Chapter 8, verse 21. Never again will I curse the ground because of mankind. Never again will I destroy all living creatures. And then chapter 9, verse 11. Never again will all life be cut off from the waters by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And again, that's repeated in chapter 9, verse 15. Let's remember, this is not a cheap gesture. It is an acknowledgement that his human creation is very special to God. Never again will there be a universal flood to destroy all life. Noah's descendants will need to hold on to this promise, this reality when they face tough times ahead. And it's something that we too can hold on to, both as individuals and as a faith community who face difficult times in a difficult world. It is a promise that is confirmed in Jesus Christ, who holds us in the very hand of God. So firstly, we're special to God. Secondly, God says, I will provide what you need. The rainbow was a sign for Noah that God's faithfulness would be seen in physical provision. Chapter 9, verses 1 and 3. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, now I give you everything. God's provision will be seen in the cycle of the seasons. Chapter 8, verse 22. As long as the earth endures seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease. And that sign, 9:13. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. This multicoloured sign reminds us that God's resources, like the colours, are many and varied to meet all our needs. This is ultimately fulfilled by another sign that God came to give us at Easter. The cross of Jesus Christ reminds us, points us towards God's provision for us through his one and only Son. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God once again provides for us to be restored to wholeness. And Pentecost reminds us that God's provision is mediated through his Holy Spirit. What wonderful provision God has made for us. Let's not forget to read the signs. The rainbow, a sign of God's enduring provision for us. The cross, where Jesus died for our sins and rose again victorious over sin and death itself. And when we join together around the communion table, the signs and symbols of bread and wine remind us again of what God has done for us in Jesus. And what a way he has opened up for us, a new and living way of hope and meaning and fulfillment, both now and eternally. Perhaps you can break bread and drink wine this week to remember God's faithfulness, to remember his promises and his provision for us, even at a time like this. We may not be able to join together to do that, but we can each do it in our own homes. And as we approach Easter, I'll be looking at ways that perhaps we can do it remotely. Perhaps we can do it in our own homes, but at the same time, and maybe with a live link of some sort. But let's look at the third point here. God says, I will keep my promise. Trust me. God's promise to Noah and his family was an unconditional reminder both to us and to God, true to his character as laid out in Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? God committed himself to keeping his promise. Faith for tough times must be set on the foundation of God's faithfulness, seen supremely in Jesus Christ, like the Apostle Paul. Can we say, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As you gather around his table, or just sit and pray, let's reaffirm our trust in God today and his unshakable faithfulness to his word and his commitment to us. And let's trust him with the whole of our lives, every part, every fear, every struggle, every niggle, every blessing, grace, and gift. And let's lay it all before him and let him minister to us, that we may walk humbly with our God in these difficult times, seeking and bestowing mercy wherever possible, living in and by grace in the way Jesus taught us through his words and his actions. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, that it is always a word in season, that it's a word for us here and now, today, right where we are. Lord, we live in what have become very uncertain times, where our usual securities have been brushed aside. Help us especially to trust in you in these days. Help us to be bearers of your good news where we can safely do so. Help us to be your people for such a time as this. And help us to trust you day by day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.